We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Monica Lovell is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Travis Imboden. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Spectacular. Thanks for having me again, ladies.
It's good to have you. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send it three ways. You can email it to hourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can post on the Facebook, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. If you'd like to be placed, if you'd like an entry onto the wheel for the book blessing of the month of May, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. The book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams, with a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all. Got it. Got thumbs up from Monica. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask that everybody that's within earshot of this and watching online, that their heart is receptive, their mind is open, that they can hear your word, Lord, and that you draw them closer. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord, that nothing is taken out of context today and that you reach as many people as you need. Father God, thank you again. We honor you and we worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Where does your loyalty lie?
Yeah, and so I mentioned this last time when I came here. Am I on? Am I online?
Yes.
Live? I'm good
yes.
to go? All right.
Ready to go.
Well, I had mentioned doing a 7-part series, something that's been on my heart for a long time. And just to kind of give a little background, when I went through Teen Challenge, Adult and Teen Challenge of Oklahoma, they have a book that's utilized for disciplinary purposes. If you get in trouble, if you break a rule or something, you have to write what they call CQs, which are character qualities. And it's a booklet that's got 50 of these character qualities in it. And so this 7-part series is based off of the Army values, 7 Army values, which is something that's near to my heart because obviously I was in the Army in a previous season of my life. And the 7 Army values are make up the acronym LEADERSHIP, which is loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And so that's all right.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, keep going. All right. Just making sure we're not having technical difficulties. Oh, okay. Do I need to yell louder, talk louder, or am I good?
You can always yell here.
Okay.
You can always get excited
right?
here.
Sorry, I was getting... I'm not experienced enough. I got sidetracked easily.
Sorry.
That's okay.
This is a safe place.
Right, it's a safe place. Yeah. And so the 7 Army values are something that I really grasped a hold of whenever I was going through boot camp. It's something that you have to memorize, and it makes up the acronym LEADERSHIP, LDRSHIP. And their character qualities, similar to the 50 character qualities that I was exposed to when I went to Teen Challenge, because I had my share of breaking the rules and making mistakes. And so I had to write out these character qualities, and they come with a scripture that backs up the character quality from a biblical standpoint. And so I thought, you know, something that kind of shaped my military life were these 7 character qualities of leadership. And the first one was loyalty. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to do a sermon on it. Now, it's biblically based. It's out of the Bible. It starts with the Bible. It's about the Bible. It's about Jesus. And at the end of the day, he gives us the best example to follow anyway. And so I thought, all right, well, step one is the L in that acronym is loyalty. So this sermon is going to be about loyalty, and the title is Where Does Your Loyalty Lie? And so first and foremost, let's start off with the scripture that I pulled it from. So Mark 12, 30 through 31 is the two great commandments. Do you ladies know? Yep. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Right. And so we're going to get into that, and you'll see how it unfolds as we go through. So loyalty, based on Webster's definition, is faithful to a person to whom allegiance or affection is due, faithful to a cause or ideal. And then, funny how the Army always has their own, you know, militarized version of the definition. So we'll read the Army's definition of loyalty. The Army's definition says to bear true faith and allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers. So, like, bearing true faith and allegiance is a matter of believing in and devoting yourself to something or someone. A loyal soldier is one who supports the leadership and stands up for fellow soldiers. And this comes from the scripture, John 15:13, which greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. And so, you notice there's a hierarchy there in the Army definition. Allegiance first to the U.S. Constitution, then to the Army as a whole, then your unit, and then you, the guy or the girl to your left and to your right. And then I'll cover the hierarchy here in a minute. So let's look at some examples. The Old Testament is full of examples for loyalty. Like, I mean, we're talking like the OG, as the kids call it, is gangster loyalty back then. First up is Ruth and Naomi. Are you guys familiar with Ruth and Naomi? No? So there's a great famine in the land, and Naomi and her husband go to Moab in search of food and water and whatever. And Naomi loses her husband. She's got a couple of kids, and they find Moabite wives, I think Orpah and then Ruth. And so then those two girls lose their husbands. And so now it's just Orpah and Naomi and Ruth. And they're like, well, we don't have anything for us here. Let's go back to Israel. And so Naomi's going to head back. Orpah and Ruth decide that, well, we'll go with you. And Naomi was like, no, you guys go back to your people. There's nothing for you. I can't have any more kids. And so Orpah sees the getting's good, so she jumps ship and leaves. But Ruth is like, no, I'm staying with you. Here, let's read the scripture. It says, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. You know, I mean, people even use these words and add them to marriage, you know, and wedding vows. And that just goes to show you the deep loyalty. Like Ruth says, you know, I'm going to hitch my wagon to you, Naomi. And you've been kind to me, and there's something of value there. And it kind of goes back to bearing true faith and allegiance in that definition to something, you know, greater than yourself or to someone. And you just, I don't know, that just rings true with me because, you know, God gives the perfect example. We need to have our loyalty based on Him. Our loyalty needs to be to God, to our Creator, to Jesus. And another example in the Old Testament, Moses. Moses had loyalty to God. And he had doubts about himself. He was like, all right, so we're going to leave the, well, it wasn't technically comfort, but leave the structured environment of Egypt where at least we got fed and we had shelter, but we're tired of being slaves and in captivity. So we're going to go just charging out into the desert, and I'm supposed to lead all these Israelites. What if they don't like me? What if they don't like my leadership style? I have a lisp. You know, I'm not very good with words, eloquent, you know. And so he had all these doubts, but he was loyal to God and the calling that God had put on his life. And so they go out into the desert, and then, you know, the Israelites, initially, they're on board with it. And they see the vision, they hear the vision that Moses is telling them about, and so they follow him and Aaron out into the desert. But then as soon as the going gets tough, what happens? They start whining. Poor Moses, right? If you guys have ever had a group of people that you're trying to, like, you know, lead in a common direction for a common good and a goal, and all of a sudden you're getting complaints and arguing and discontent and
I got kids.
Prime example. There you go. So one of the other titles that I was toying with or thinking about in my head is, where's your loyalty lie? Does loyalty lie with luxury, loyalty over luxury, loyalty over likes? We'll get into the New Testament example here in a minute of where this is, like, case in point. So whenever they got, whenever they ran into a difficult situation, all of a sudden their loyalty started to wane, the Israelites' loyalty. Moses had his focus and loyalty on Jesus or on God, and then, but the Israelites, they were kind of wishy-washy, and so they would have rather returned to captivity. And so when the going got tough, they were ready to get going. And another example, Jonathan and David. You know, Saul had fallen out of favor with God because he kept trying to take things and matters into his own hands whenever he wouldn't hear from Samuel in a timely manner. And he was like, all right, well, I'll just go ahead and sacrifice these. You know, and he took the place of a priest, and Samuel said, you've acted foolishly, and for this reason, you know, your kingdom will not endure. And so from then on, he was trying to kill David, and Jonathan, even being Saul's son, had undying loyalty to David and kept giving David the heads up. Hey, I think Dad's crazy. I think if you go this way or that way, he's going to try to run you through with the spear. And he was always warning David. And I was really, like, blown away by how awesome that friendship is, because I have friends like that. And, you know, I'll get into that, you know, through my alcohol and stuff here in a minute, of how close that bond is. But then you look at David, and David had a similar loyalty, not only to Jonathan, because he trusted Jonathan and he appreciated, you know, obviously Jonathan bailing him out when he was about to get murdered. But there were multiple times through 1st and 2nd Samuel where David had Saul in his grasp, and he could have killed him, and he didn't. And there's an example of loyalty to a cause. He's like, how can I raise my hand against the Lord's anointed? You know, even though he knew that Saul had fallen out of favor with God, and he knew that Saul's days as king were numbered, and that Saul was acting crazy, you know, because every time he turned around, he was trying to kill him. He knew that, but he also knew that initially God had called him and given him divine favor. And so the fact that David had all these opportunities to kind of even the playing field and get this monkey off his back and say, all right, listen, if I run this guy through, I don't have to look over my shoulder anymore. But his loyalty to God and the whole purpose, the hierarchy, he respected the Saul's position as king of Israel still, and he didn't do it. So I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. And so the New Testament example, here we'll circle back. I always go to Peter. You know? Yeah. I mean, old Cephas. Simon, Peter. He's got three names in the Bible. It took me a while to get that all down. I was like, well, who are we talking about now? But everybody knows Peter, the rock on which God was going to build the church. I mean, think about being in that situation. You're out there fishing, doing your family business. You own the boat, you own the nets, and this is what you do. You're in your wheelhouse. And all of a sudden, a man that has been prophesied walks up, and you don't know him from Adam, and he says, come with me. I'll make you fishers of men. And he just drops everything. I mean, on the spot, instant loyalty. And I don't know the whole dynamic. I know that there's a show out that's called The Chosen, I think, and everybody speaks very highly about it. And I've seen a couple of episodes, but I don't know if I've always been, like, busy and kind of it's in passing. But I hear it's really good, and I think that that show tries to tie in or fill in the pieces that are not explicitly like listed out in the Bible to make the narrative make sense. But imagine, and I don't know the whole dynamic there, but imagine just being married and saying, "Hey, you know, I know I've been a fisherman my whole life, babe, but I'm going to go follow this guy that's a prophet, and he might be the one." And how that must have felt to her, to his friends, to his, you know, and luckily his brother went with him, and then John, and they all just showed that unbelievable, undeniable loyalty at the drop of a hat, and they followed him. But similar to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, Peter's path starts to get a little tricky whenever Jesus comes under persecution, because he's foretelling them, hey, the Son of Man has got to suffer. And they didn't understand it, but whenever he's arrested that night, and all of a sudden the game's up, and Jesus knows what's going to happen, but Peter's like, I can't believe this is going on. Why don't you just call down legions of, you know, and save yourself? He's like, all right. And this girl points him out. Hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And what does Peter do? He denies it. He denies knowing Jesus. And when the going gets tough, where does your loyalty lie? Do you have unwavering loyalty to Jesus first and foremost? And is that going to surpass your likes, your luxuries? You know, so this is, and by the way, to anybody that's listening on Facebook, I'm preaching this sermon to me as much as anybody, because, you know, I still have likes and wants, and I know there's a calling on my life. And, you know, even coming up to this day with all of the stuff that's going on in my life, I was thinking, well, man, I got a lot of stuff to do. Man, I could push it off another week. And that's just, my loyalty has got to be grounded in Jesus first. And there is a calling on my life to preach the word, even if it's not behind a pulpit, you know, every Sunday yet, it could be that. And I love these opportunities, and I thank you ladies for allowing me to come here and do this. And I struggle with this every time, because I'm thinking, well, what if I don't say the right words? What if I don't convey the message the right way? What if I miss something and I preach it out of context, or I mix up a scripture, and then people on Facebook or on the internet or whatever that's listening on the radio, They see it or they hear it, and then they start picking me apart. And then at the end this morning, in fact, when I woke up, I was like, it's about Jesus. It started with Jesus. It's about Jesus. It ends with Jesus. And then it's for his glory, not mine. And so just turning that over, there was just a sense of peace that came over me this morning. And so anyway, I got sidetracked there, but all right. So next up, the next New Testament example I have is Judas. We'll spend a little bit of time on this one. Never-ending loyalty. We talk about, you know, Peter running and denying Jesus three times, and the Israelites turning away from Moses, and, you know, we see these examples of good loyalty and then loyalty where luxury and comfort kind of drown out someone's loyalty. But Jesus, like I said, Jesus is the reason for this, and he sets the perfect example. Jesus had never-ending loyalty for Peter. He knew that Peter was going to deny him ahead of time, and he still picked Peter to build his church on, a pillar of the church. Case in point, Jesus' loyalty to Judas. Jesus let Judas eat that night. I mean, just think about that for a second. Jesus knew. Jesus went into that room with his disciples, and he knew that he'd already been betrayed. He already knew that Judas was a snake amidst him. For a handful of silver, Jesus knew already he's going to be stabbed in the back hours before his death, and Judas still ate. Jesus fed Judas. Jesus prayed for Judas. Jesus washed the treacherous feet of the traitor that stabbed him in the back. I struggle to fathom the love, because I think that love and loyalty are interwoven. It's hard to have loyalty, blind loyalty. at some point, you have to believe in what you're loyal to. Otherwise, you will fall away. That's like the Israelites. I mean, I truly think that they had a they didn't love the Lord their God with all their heart, strength, soul, and mind, or they would have been on board with Moses as he was. They would have been as on board with him and Aaron through the trials. Peter, I don't think, at that time, understood and loved Jesus as much as he did, obviously, afterwards when he saw him raised from the dead. But the type of love that Jesus has for us, setting the perfect example of loyalty, is that he was feeding the mouth of the man that deceived. He washed the feet. I mean, the vilest of betrayals, and he allowed Judas to eat. I mean, in one way or another, we're all Judas. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done things that are vile, that, you know, betray, deceit, lies, lust. I mean, whether from little white lies to murder, the whole gamut. We're all Judas at some point in our life, and we've all betrayed Jesus and sinned against God, and we all think we've all done things that we feel maybe that make us unworthy of forgiveness. I've struggled with that. You know, God, am I really saved? And unwavering loyalty to us is what Jesus exhibits. It blows my mind. Unlike our hearts, which are wickedly deceptive above all, God's love for us and his loyalty to us allows us to, if we have a heart of repentance and we ask for forgiveness, and we lay it at the foot of the cross, his blood covers it all. Past sins I made on the way driving here, sins I'm going to make tomorrow. I don't go out and intentionally sin, and I don't live a life of unrepentant while I prayed a prayer, you know, 20 years ago and as fire insurance and I'm good, but I don't intentionally go out there and sin, and I do, but I still struggle with it. Mm-hmm. God already died for that. God already sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood that covers it all. And that example of loyalty, if we could just grasp a fraction of that, imagine how the nuclear family would start to be healed in this nation. I mean, it doesn't take long turning on the TV or Facebook or the internet, and you see how upside down and messed up this world is. Evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. I mean, I made this comment the other day, and not to be racist, but it's just, it was a perfect example. An 8-year-old boy will get in trouble for pretending to be an Indian these days. Right. But he can pretend to be a girl. Mm-hmm. Come on. When you've got drag queens that are teaching kids in school or reading stories to kids in school, and you have gender changing, I mean, I call it butchering, but when you're altering a child, I mean, when I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a wrestler and I ate June bugs. I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. I knew it wasn't a woman. You know, these people are drastically deceived, and they need the love of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like last time when I was here, I had three pieces of advice, and it was, I think I ended with, read your Bible. Number 2 was read your Bible, and 3 was read your Bible. These people need Jesus. I don't hate the transgender people. I don't hate gay, lesbian, the LB, whatever the 26 letters of the acronym stand for now. I believe that they're truly lost and deceived, and they are confused. And who is the author of confusion? Satan. And so, but we live in such an upside down world that if people would grasp loyalty to Jesus, it would drastically improve the trajectory of their life here on earth and spiritually for eternity.
I want to touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm fixing to get real transparent. When I was younger, I used to
be a tomboy. Mm-hmm. I used to play with Hot Wheels, Dip Copenhagen, all that. Mm-hmm. All that. Okay. And I grew up, and I heard things being said, mm-hmm. and I believed those, and I got confused. Mm-hmm. I used to like women, but God. Mm-hmm. And a good mama. Being young and being one who was drugged mm-hmm. to church. My mama drugged me. She drugged me to church.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God for her. Right. I'm so grateful. Something in me told me something ain't right. And I hear these voices, you're not right. You're not this. You're not that. You're this. You're that. Mm-hmm. But something in me, I want to say knew better. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And my mama did not feed those demonic spirits.
Right.
And the Lord corrected that behavior mm-hmm. in me. Mm-hmm. He gave me a correction, and I took hold of it mm-hmm. and repented and repentance. I asked for forgiveness. Repentance. I turned away from that.
Yes.
Turned away from it. Mm-hmm. And my mama never once fed that demonic spirit mm-hmm. that was trying to pull me in another direction.
Right.
And it's really sad to me nowadays to see parents feeding, literally feeding the demonic spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it's just a phase. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
Right.
Speak truth. Mm-hmm. Speak truth. Quit spoon feeding that demonic spirit that is trying to attach to your child and steal your child.
An onslaught,
you know, and it's just really that really hit with mm-hmm. me when you was talking about that,
right?
Because I know firsthand the battle. I've been there. I know firsthand that demonic spirit's attack to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. Quit spoon feeding that demonic spirit that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your baby. Now I've been married,
right.
I'm widowed now, but I've been married, I've had children, and I have grandchildren. And I just watched my second granddaughter graduate high school.
Amen.
And she will be going to OU. We gotta stand up for these babies and quit bowing down.
Mm-hmm. Amen. About to cover that in my third call to action here in a minute. That's good. No, that's good. Thank you for sharing. It's a great segue into this. My story is filled with, you know, sin, falling short, missing the mark, and betraying those that were loyal to me. You know, I was like the Israelites. I was like Judas to friends and family. Men and women that kept their loyal to me when I didn't deserve it, just like Judas, I had betrayed those closest to me, my mother. I betrayed the calling to be a dad to my daughter for the first few years of her life because drinking and partying was more important to me. My best friends, you know, I've got a best friend on the planet. He's deployed right now overseas, and you know, I had to go to Teen Challenge 3 times. I know I've shared this a couple of previous sermons, but, you know, I was a 3-time loser. It took me 3 trips to Teen Challenge before God finally changed my heart. And the second and third time, he drove me to Teen Challenge. The third time, he had to carry me in through the door because I was so messed up. Thank God for people like that. You know, the pastors at Sunrise Ranch showed me loyalty by allowing me to come back, knowing that I had already skipped out of there twice, thinking that I had it. I mean, you know, Pastor Lauren Schreffler, Josh West, Randall Wilbur, Wesley Burns. I mean, the list goes on. Brandon Manley. All of these godly men, these pastors of the word, ministers of the word, that showed loyalty to me when I didn't deserve it. Never ceasing to pray, my mother, like you. My dad knows the Lord, and my stepmom, and my mom, and my Uncle Rex, and Pastor Zoshak, and Pastor Rodney Fouts in the city, Mark Crow. I mean, I've been exposed to the word, and I'm thankful for their loyalty to continue following the path that God had for them. My mom never stopped praying for me. You know, it saved a stubborn wretch like me. You know, I mean, I think back on that third time to Teen Challenge. I was so drunk and so like withdrawing from the alcohol that I had to be carried. I mean, I'm 6'3", 300 pounds now. At that time, I think I was 260 in my, I had like no muscle mass. I was just starting to dwindle away, and I had to be carried in through the front door. I mean, but God. So, loyalty and love are woven together, and we must be loyal. These are my talking points here. Worldly loyalty looks like this. Self, success, lust, sex, pride, fame, money, greed. Loyalty to the Lord starts with Jesus. You know, in psychology, you end up, at some point, you'll be exposed to the word or the name Maslow. Maslow has a hierarchy of needs. In his wisdom, he said that, you know, the base level is your food and your what you need to survive, basically. Food, water, shelter. And then it works its way up to, like, I think self-actualization is at the top. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, you need to flip that on its script, and you need to be in last place. It's funny how anything in this secular world ends up being opposite of what God intends, you know? My call to action, first and foremost, is God. We're called to be disciples and men of God. And I'm going to go on a little tangent here. Men, it's time to be men. There is nothing toxic about Christian masculinity. If you're a man of God and you live your life by the precepts that Jesus, the example that Jesus set about being a humble servant, but having a command presence and being able to lead your family unit and being the rock and the foundation that your spouse can cling to, that your children can look up to, that you can influence and within your sphere of influence, at your home, in your home unit, your nuclear family, then in your church, at work, and throughout your community. Imagine if 10% of the male population in this nation grew a backbone and used it for God.